Georgia is certainly on our minds this afternoon as we come together to celebrate and to mourn. With music, with words, with poems, and with memories. Would you turn to 311 in the hymnal? And so stand if you are able and sing whether you think you can or not. And let's begin the celebration with Let It Be a Dance. With much the same sentiment, Ecclesiastes wrote, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace." And for each and all, there is a time to die. We know this, but it is neither simple nor easy. For what Ecclesiastes left out is that there is also a time to stop dying. And that day came for Georgia. We may not agree on the magic moment when living becomes dying, just as there's no magical quarter inch where short becomes tall. But we do, at some point, recognize it. When I last saw Georgia a little over a month ago, I expected that our goodbye was going to be our last goodbye. When I saw her last, she was surrounded by love, by people who love her, who were drawn to her, by Robin and Jody and Brianna. Georgia knew she was loved. And for everybody in this room, there is no finer epitaph. She also knew that she was seriously ill. However, with all the medical issues that she had gone through over the years and that she had survived, she saw no reason not to survive this. She had not given up her fight. Her personality was intact. And though clearly her batteries were run down, she went neither gentle into that good night, nor did she rage against the dying of the light. She was herself. She was Georgia to the very end. Funny and feisty and real. Eating what she wanted to eat, not what you wanted her to eat. When Sue reached out to stroke her with comfort, she said, "I'm not a dog. Don't pet me." It wasn't mean. It wasn't hostile. It was Georgia speaking her mind. We gather together today to mourn and to celebrate. We mourn her death, yes, certainly. But we also know, in the words of the prayer book that I grew up with, that our grief is according to our blessing. And tears are the tender tribute of yearning affection for one who is gone but can never be forgotten. If we are lucky in life, there are people who are so precious and so dear that when they are removed from before our eyes and our physical embrace, it feels shattering. The purpose of this service is not to be shattered. It is not to mourn Georgia forever or to remember her simply in her last days. It is to remember her, to find a peaceful chamber of our hearts, to find a picture of Georgia that we want to carry with us. That is the process of mourning and of grief. This service, in the deepest sense, is not for Georgia. We believe in the ultimate repose of her soul, however you understand it. This service is for us, for our tears, for our hearts, for our longing, for our missing, for our sense of blessing. For the truth is that while it is Georgia's death that gathers us together, visible to one another, it is her uncommon life that is the common thread binding us together today and forevermore. As Ecclesiastes wrote, there is a time to rend and a time to sew. Traditionally, people would rend garments. They would tear their sleeves or their cuffs, emblematic, symbolic of the tear in the fabric of their lives, of those whom they mourned. And today, we begin a process of stitching together the tear in the fabric of our life with the thread of common shared memories. We celebrate Georgia, an uncommon person who, with every breath, said yes to art, yes to beauty, yes to family, yes to love, and yes to life. Would you turn to hymn number 6 and stand as you are able and join together? When when I came here a little over 16 years ago, there was a small group, a saving remnant, a few pillars of this congregation. And among those important and lonely pillars were Georgia and Robin, as well as Robin and Georgia. The word order sometimes changed depending on whom you were asking a favor of, but they were always linked together and always ready with an enthusiastic yes to almost any request. Run a canvas, Robin. Sure. Put together a potluck, Georgia. Of course. Do the books, Robin. Absolutely. Donate a piece of your artwork to the auction. Certainly. Happily. Whatever was going on, Georgia added value to it with her enthusiasm, her wisdom, and her loving ways. She was a very accepting and tolerant person, having experienced intolerance and stereotyping in her youth while spending some of her youth in the Latin American country of Colombia, where she was sometimes an outcast, an outsider, the gringa. But in typical Georgia fashion, she did not let being an outcast sour her sense of appreciation for Colombia or for Latin America. And throughout her life and in every work of art, you can see the influence. You can see the jungle scapes that she painted with rich foliage, the fanciful crocodiles and animals that were turned into a dreamscape. She was an artist. Studying art at Moore College and receiving a grant in recognition of her work, she received more than 100 awards, best of shows and first places. She was voted into membership in Women's Painters West and exhibited all over Southern California, Eugene, and Springfield. Born in Philadelphia, although insisting, don't call it Philly, to what was then considered to be a mixed marriage, meaning Catholic and Protestant, that's how the world has changed. Now a mixed marriage is male and female. She journeyed spiritually and physically, passing through Latin America, one marriage, on her way to Fullerton and Unitarianism, where she met Robin and married 38 years ago as part of the service. And then they went on to Eugene. It is a mark of her unique personality that when I read in preparation of this service that they moved to Eugene 7 years ago, it seemed wrong. Mind you, it was not that I didn't miss you all, but your aura, George's aura, was so strong that I kept seeing you in your regular places. And so when you came back together a little while ago for a visit, I may not have given you the welcome that was due you because you just looked right. You both looked like you belonged here, and there are some people in our lives that you don't see them for a month and you have to reintroduce yourself. You have no idea who they are. And there are some people you don't see for a decade and you pick up on the comma that ended your previous conversation. Georgia was like that. Robin is like that. It is an uninterrupted pleasure and relationship. While I was fortunate enough to get to be with Georgia during some happy times, parties, holidays, a wedding, a beautiful wedding, I really learned the depth of her heart with a heartbreaking illness and eventual death of her granddaughter, Carrie. Carrie, too, never lost her fighting spirit. It was, you could see Georgia in it. Georgia was always there, offering a home and hugs and a comforting presence. When I visited in the home, of course, Robin and Georgia were both there with Carrie. But when I visited at City of Hope, which I did on my way into Fullerton and sometimes on my way home from Fullerton to see Carrie when she was undergoing treatment there, there was Georgia, always She never tried to protect her heart, but she gave it away generously. Her daughter Jody remembers her unconditional love for her, while son Frank shares that his childhood friends thought that she was really cool and non-judgmental, and even how some ex-girlfriends wanted custody of her after they were done with him. A fine tribute indeed. She was something. She was someone special. She had something warm and approachable. She drew to herself without asking or demanding a very special kind of dedication. During her last years, the medical issues grew closer and closer together, and Robin was always there with her and for her. Robin, you were exemplary, and I mean that in the truest sense of being an example to all who saw the depth of your dedication. And that says something wonderful about Robin, but it also says something about Georgia, because it was her example of how she loved and how she gave and how she shared that was exemplary for all of us. She was a model in how she loved her family, her friends, her life, and life itself. In putting together this service, I was privileged to be a part of the family's email string as they discussed, sometimes debated, the nature of her art. Was it primitive? Was it naive? Was it simply Latin American? Was it realistic magic or magical realism? The truth is, I think, that her art, as her life, defied easy characterization and labeling. It was unique and personal and just Georgia. Georgia was an artist, but in more than paint. Her medium was life, and life was her greatest work of art. It was magical, and she was real. The poet said it best, "A thing of beauty is a joy forever. Its loveliness increases. It will never pass into nothingness, but still will keep a bower quiet for us and a sleep full of sweet dreams and health and quiet breathing. Therefore, on every morrow are we wreathing a flowery band to bind us to the earth, spite of despondence, of inhuman dearth, of noble natures, of the gloomy days, of all unhealthy and or darkened ways made for our searching. Yes, in spite of all, some shape of beauty moves away the pall from our dark spirits, such the sun, the moon, trees, old and young, sprouting a shady boon for simple sheep. And such are daffodils with the green world they live in, and clear rills that for themselves a cooling cover make against the hot season. The mid-forest brake, rich with a sprinkling of fair musk-rose blooms. And such, too, is the grandeur of the dooms we have imagined for the mighty dead. All lovely tales that we have heard or read, an endless fountain of immortal drink pouring unto us from the heaven's brink." Thank you, choir. And now to share some memories, Sue Craig.
I got to know Georgia at a different time in life than many of you did. She was much more active here in the congregation up there. It didn't happen. I tried, but it just absolutely didn't happen. She was at a different time and a different place. So we would visit, and sometimes I got to go with her to do some artwork in some of the places around St. Louis, Eugene. And that was such a privilege. And I got to know her a lot better with her marvelous sense of humor, a little fighting at times, much fun. And I got to know the family a little bit better. It was such a pleasure to be a part of that, too. What Georgia was a wonderful artist, and it was simply so much a part of her life. And as her vision got worse, she had the terrible macular degeneration, and her essential tumor got worse, and she just buckled down and said, yeah, that's the way it is, too bad. I'm going to change the way that I paint. And she did. And I am the proud recipient of one of those beautiful pictures that she did for me, the great big thing that's up on my wall, and I see it every day, think of her every day. And I think of her kind of practicality in a way, but very brave when you think about it, to say, okay, I'm just going to do it a different way. And it's gorgeous, and it's vivid, and it's so colorful, and I just love it. And it's so much a part of who she was. And all the way along, Robin made so many things possible so that she could keep doing these wonderful things, keep seeing, keep reading, keep engaged with what she did. So what a privilege it was to know her and to be a part of her world. She taught me a lot. Thank you.
Grief is a given, but if there's anyone who would like to share a memory, this would be a fine time.
I think David Stewart might be planning to do that.
Wimbledon. It's a special phrase for me. Of course, you know, we know it is very beautiful. And Georgia, for me, was the definition of this phrase, Wimbledon. Her ability to see beauty in everything was a very special gift that she possessed, and a gift that she shared with all of her friends and family and people in her life. Georgia was, of course, a remarkable artist and a loving spouse and parent and wonderful grandparent. And she shared her love easily with many people in her life. In my case, I had to earn a position with Georgia's love. And I remember 28 years ago when I first met Georgia, and she was the aunt of a very special person that I was dating, my wife today, Katie. And after meeting Georgia and chatting perhaps for an hour or so and just kind of getting to know one another, there was a moment when it was just Georgia and I sitting at the kitchen table and no one else. And with remarkable clarity and confidence and Georgia's own special flavor of calmness, she looked me in the eyes and with a great big smile, she said, "Don't think for a moment that you'll ever pull the wool over my eyes. I trust that you will be very good to my Katie." And so from that moment, I knew that I was getting involved in a very special family, one that had deep passion and love for one another, and would do anything to help and protect and love each other. So over the decades, I came to know and love Georgia very much and enjoy the love and beauty that surrounded her life. It was always a special treat to travel long distance and be able to sit with her and talk and listen and watch she and Katie talk. talk about their passions and their lives, and these are just wonderful memories for me. The genuine beauty of those conversations will be with me forever. I'm certain that all of you shared similar moments over the years, and this is the gift that Georgia has given to all of us. And perhaps this will inspire us to give similar gifts to those loved ones that we share our lives with. May you always find peace, confidence, and love in your memories of Georgia. This is the richest gift anyone can possess. You are with me, Georgia. God bless all of you, and God bless Georgia.
Anyone else with a prepared manuscript? Judy.
Prior to that time, I had known Georgia as a longtime church member and Circle Dinner acquaintance. Carolyn Atkinson got us going with a group of 10 or so who met to read and discuss a program called Cakes for the Queen of Heaven. And now when I see that term in print or someone else mentions it, all the memories come flooding back of those special times. It opened my eyes to the widespread practice of female deities around the world. It opened my heart to a new level of friendship with the women of the church. After Carolyn moved away, Georgia and Barbara Keller, who's here today, Lynn Koppel, who's here today, and Julie Carroll, who's here today, and I kept meeting. And Julie left the group when we were four left to ourselves. We eventually met monthly with and without an assigned topic of discussion. As the church grew, it was clear that another women's circle was in order, but we chose to remain as our own, our original group. Getting to know these women was one of the most enriching experiences of my life. The travels, the travails, the histories, the hopes for life yet to be lived were shared without judgment and in confidence. Georgia's passion for life, her family, her art so impressed me. I felt I was seeing for the first time up close someone whose true nature was to paint beauty. When her vision failed her, she talked of resuming painting. When her mobility was at stake, she talked about getting back on her feet. I saw Georgia always looking to go on, not giving in, and certainly not giving up. Once in a while, I was privileged to see Georgia on fire. She became so decidedly wise, so cut to the chase. This was no nonsense, Georgia, and I loved it. Her children, her grandchildren, and her beloved Robin were blessed to have her, and I thank them for sharing her with us.
Is there anyone else who would like to share a memory? It's not required. Brad? Thank you. Well, I'm aware at a time like this that we're not all the same. We come, even if this were just Unitarian Universalists, that would be a safe statement to make. We have a variety of languages where we try to stammer our sense of connection to the source of life, of beauty, of meaning. And we stammer in our different vocabularies. The Bible teaches that the spirit of life was breathed into the nostrils of Adam, and that in Ecclesiastes it's written that that life force, that spirit, goes back in the final breath to the God who gave it. In science, we learn that nothing is created or destroyed in the universe, but only changed. And that word "only" is a tough one, because sometimes change is a big change. And that's what this service is about. This is not closure. This is not the end of grief, the end of missing. You will miss her. You will mourn her. It will be hard at times that are difficult, and you're looking for her wisdom and her flash. It'll be harder at happy times when you have something that you want to share, a wonderful occasion. And again, you'll be looking for her. And you have to look inside to find her, because that's where she lives now. We believe that the ultimate repose of the soul is peace, and that Georgia is not a body, and she is not her ashes. Her acts of kindness and goodness are inspirational, and we carry them with us. We carry her memory. Some of you carry her DNA. And all of us have been blessed by however it was that her life touched ours. In the Psalms, it asks the rhetorical question, what are we that God should be mindful of us? And the answer is, we are as the grass. We grow in the morning, we flourish at noon, we wither in the afternoon, and are cut down in the evening. We are a part of nature, not a part from nature. When I was a very young clergyman who was much surer of my answers than I am now, I objected to flowers at funerals and memorial services because they're cut flowers. I mean, gee, give a plant. I didn't understand the metaphor. This rose is cut off from the living plant, but it still has so much to give us in scent, in color, in pattern. That rose, this rose, is beautiful at every part of its life, from bud to flower to full flower to the petals falling onto the ground at the end. Georgia is cut off from this life, but there is so much that abides, so much beauty that she created, so much color that she painted into the world with her hands, her heart, and her soul. We carry that great work of art that was the life and the love that was Georgia with us always. Please turn to hymn 123 and stand for our closing hymn. And at the conclusion of the hymn, all are invited to recess next door for a celebration in food and memory of Georgia Thornton. This concludes our service.